All right, you guys are awesome. Come on, Howard.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Thank you, sir. Good morning, everybody. Give Tom Ziegler a big hand clap. But don't leave quite yet because I have a gift for you. Here you go. So what you can do is bring this with you. Every time we do our program, when I start talking about Sob Drink, and you say Tab. I was so disappointed yesterday because I had Tab with me for the very first time. He always sits back there every single time I say, you know, what Sob Drink, you know, comes to mind first. He's like, Tab. So my assistant was at a department store the other day. And she's like, she texts me and says, they got Tab here. You want me to guess? I said, yeah, get a whole carton. So anyway.
Thanks, boss.
You betcha. Give Tom another big hand clap. And if you would like to taste Tab, I don't know how old this stuff is. And actually, she probably had to go to eBay to get it, you know, if you want to know the truth. But also have a gift for you guys as well. And it's a balloon. Okay. And so if everybody will take a balloon, there's a specific reason that we want to have these balloons today. And I'm not sure if we've ever done the balloons. We've done the balloons all over the world, but I don't know if we've done them here at the Business Owner Boot Camp or not.
We need one more.
I know. I'm not that great at math, but I do know that we had maybe too many over here. Does everybody have one?
Yep.
Okay. So how many we need here?
I like blue.
Okay. Blue? Okay. Okay. Blue, you want to change?
Huh?
Did I? Okay. Yellow? Okay. Oh, people now want a specific color. Okay, there we go. All right. Do we have enough? Maybe one more? Yes, I have one more red one. Now, if you don't like your color, you could trade, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to blow up your balloon. Blow up your balloon. And don't tie it off quite yet. When you're done, I want you to hold it up, okay? When you're done, I want you to hold it up. Okay? Don't tie it off yet. Okay. So when you're done, just hold it up, okay? Now, here's the thing. I want you to look around. This is a scientific proven fact that the size of your balloon is in direct proportion to your self-image. Somebody just let some air out of there. Now look at Rob's, man. Look at, I mean, this guy's got some confidence, okay? All right. Tracy, what happened? Was it just like leaking on you? I mean, you know, okay.
No.
Actually, there's nothing to that part, but except for this. All right, first of all, look at that balloon, and what does it say?
I am phenomenal.
Okay. Now, actually, what you want is you want your balloon to be about the size of LaDonna's, maybe a touch bigger than that, about the size of Robert's, okay, about the size of Rhonda's. And then once you get it to that size, I want you to tie it off, and then I'm going to tell you the real reason for these balloons, okay? Gary Keller, the founder of Keller Williams, the largest real estate company, residential real estate company in the world, said that feedback is the breakfast of champions. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. So we're talking about leadership today, and one of the things that you want to do is always be getting feedback on how your people are doing. And I need to know how I'm doing today, because I'm only with you for the half day and I'll be leaving at lunchtime. So when you get an aha moment today, I want you to pick up your pen and reach over there and pop that balloon, okay? There's another reason for this. I know, right? Kind of scary in a small room like this. But there's another reason for it. This is day two, and some of you probably stayed out too late last night and you haven't had enough coffee yet. So if the person next to you falls asleep, pop that balloon and wake everybody up. If I fall asleep, pop a balloon. And the first one that goes off usually scares me to death. So there we go. All right. I got one more gift for you. And that is a bracelet. I promised you yesterday that I would give you the 9 steps to create. In fact, let's do one per company, make sure that I have enough. I think I've got enough. And or one per couple until we make sure we've got enough. I think we have enough.
One for LaDonna.
One for LaDonna. And I promised you that I would give you the 9 steps to creating, marketing, and delivering a phenomenal experience. And I have a, on this website, what does that bracelet say? Okay, so the idea is not only are we phenomenal, we got to understand that every human being that we come in contact with, including your team, is a phenomenal creation, all right? And those of you that are couples that did, that only got one bracelet, I've got an extra bracelet, a Born to Win bracelet for you, okay? So you can remember that you're born to win, and so is everybody else that you meet. Now, we're going to start out with leadership this morning, and my good friend John Maxwell, I was just watching this morning the keynote that he did at our conference. This was a $50,000 keynote, and believe it or not, it was worth every penny. And John Maxwell is considered to be the number one leadership expert in the world, and he says this, that everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Guess who the toughest person to lead is?
Ourselves.
Or your spouse, yes. And we'll get into that in the marriage seminar. But yes, ourselves, right? None of this happens unless we have leadership. Marketing doesn't get done. Sales doesn't get done. We don't get things done through our team without leadership. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. John Maxwell's definition of leadership is that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Guess what? Everybody has influence in someone else's life. And if they're not following you, guess who they're following? That's right. Someone else in your company. As a matter of fact, the greatest leadership secret of all is building a sense of community in your company, because every human being on the planet has a longing for belonging. They want to belong to something that means something. They want to belong to a group. And if you don't provide it, if you don't create it in your company, they'll find it in whoever's closest to them, either outside of work or at work. And that's why all these little kingdoms build in your company is because they want to belong to something, right? This is why gangs exist. Because every human being wants to be loved and accepted, and they want to use their gifts. It's just how we're built. It's how we're made. And unfortunately, in today's society, we're connected more digitally than ever before, but we're more isolated and lonely than ever before, right? This is the secret that you can create in your company, is to create a sense of community. How do you gain influence in someone else's life? Is by adding value to them. The way that you gain influence in someone else's life is by adding value to them. Now, this is not usually considered to be a leadership quote, but I think that what Zig said, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want, is the greatest leadership lesson that you could learn, or the greatest leadership quote, I should say. Dale Carnegie said that leadership is enlisting the willing cooperation of others to achieve a goal. There's two key words there. Number one, there's a goal. Every single one of your team members needs to know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and they need to know what the goal is. You cannot expect your team members to think like you do. You have to define that goal for them, all right? And then the second key is willing cooperation. So personally, what I like to do is find people with the lowest necessary technical experience. And I learned this directly, personally, from Michael Gerber. And if you can hire them with no experience, that's best. If you hire them at the lowest technical level possible, Michael Gerber says, then you can create the system that you want. Because how many of you know that experienced people might be the best at their craft or at their work or their technical work that they do, but they don't know how to show up on time? They don't know how to smile at the customer. They don't know how to serve people, right? So I'm looking for people with heart. I'm looking for people who are willing. I could ask any one of my team members to put on a clown suit and run around this building, and they'd just ask me, where's the suit and how many times do I run around it and when do I do it? And that's the only question, right? That's where you need to be. And the way that you get there is by adding value to other people. Dwight Eisenhower said this, that leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because they want to do it. How does that work? Here's what we found. I study leadership from the best of the best of the best. I go to John Maxwell's highest level groups, and here's what we've learned. And then the value of coming to something like this is not having to go through the pain, the agony, the years of trial and error and making the mistakes that I've had to make, and just cut right to the chase, and I'll tell you what it is. If you help your people reach their goals, if you will help them develop themselves, they'll give back to you big time. But we're so concerned about getting the job done that we forget to build up the person. And sometimes we err on the other way. We build up the person, we don't hold them accountable. So there's a balance there. All right, so we'll get into that. My definition of leadership is this. Leadership, and this is in your book, what page are we on? 18. Leadership is enlisting the willing cooperation of others. Sorry, that's Dale Carnegie. Leadership is effectively communicating your vision. And remember that we talked about vision being your mission, your values, and your purpose, MVP. Mission, values, and purpose. Phenomenal leadership delivers a meaningful experience that inspires the team to implement. What inspires people? Well, Zig said everybody listens to the same radio station. What is it? WIFFM. What's in it for me, right? And so when I hire people, the first thing that I tell them is, I want you to reach your goals. This is a different kind of company. We're interested in you reaching your goals. How many interviews do you think that they went on recently and that's the first thing that, the person said in the interview? Not many, probably none ever. Right? Now, they've already gone through it. If I'm interviewing them, they've already gone through all the process, the application process, and, you know, my team has interviewed them. But that's my message to them. The other side of it is that we've created a system that not only can you grow and reach your goals, but obviously we can't help you reach your goals if the company doesn't reach its goals, right? So we've set up systems. If you're willing to follow those systems, if you're willing to operate on the mission, the values, and the purpose that we have, and keep our policies and procedures, you're in good shape. Our philosophy is you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. I help you, you help me, that's the way it works. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's something I get stuck on a lot because we're constantly in a state of development of policies and procedures.
Okay.
And I'm looking to a lot of the people that I hire and bring in to help us create reliable policies.
Yep.
And reliable procedures to keep getting things
done. Yeah.
You know, I think about your plumbing scenario, and you're trying to bring people in, and you're trying to help, you know, have them help you get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
How do you influence them to help achieve that as opposed to follow that?
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist yet.
Well, I think that even if you don't have all the systems put together yet, that you need to have a couple things in place, which I'm sure you already do, which is we've got our goals, right? We have our vision. We have a one-sentence mission statement, right? And the mission is how we achieve the goal.
If you don't have that mission statement,
you need to develop that. That should be the first thing. In your case, with the size organization you have, that's the first thing I would do. And I would start beating that drum. This is what we're about. This is our mission. This is what we're trying to accomplish as a group.
Just a funny story. We tried to do that, and the other two owners shut it down.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to have a fight right here in the room. This is awesome. You guys are brothers, right?
Yeah, but they're not here, so.
No. We're on the other page.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, man, this is going to be, we're going to have a lot of balloons popping in here, man. It's like, you know, this side, yay, go. Yeah.
So I can add to this. I work for a company, a corporate company, and we have a mission, and along with that, core values. And every year we have strategic initiatives. And our strategic initiative this year is the 20-mile march, and it's based on a book of every day, doesn't matter what we do, we're gonna achieve the goal, and we're gonna go to that 20-mile march. And it's based off of Mundelson and Scott, which were two guys that were trying to get to the South Pole. Mundelson was prepared in everything that he did, and every day they got up and they made 20 miles. And they went 20 miles, and the other guy would hunker down when the weather was bad, and everybody in his party died. So that's the point of the 20-mile march. But with the mission, the vision, and the core values are part of our performance evaluations. So, and I wish I had my card, because it's so important. When I first started with it, the name of the company is Lamb Research. We're number one in our space. And the CEO at the time was Jim Bagley. And I was brand new out of the Navy, went out to do some training on the tool sets as an engineer. And we had breakfast with Bagley. And I was expecting, hey, I'm the CEO, glad you came, all of this stuff, right? There was about 300 of us in the auditorium, brand new hires in 2000. And he started off the meeting and he said, I'm Jim Bagley. I'm the CEO. Does everybody have a core values badge? And everybody raised their hand except one person, right? And he didn't have one. He said, get that guy back there a core values badge. He said, now, I walk these halls every day. If I see anybody without this core values badge on, I will fire you on the spot.
Wow, that's an opening.
That's an opening.
Yeah.
And we drive, the whole company drives to the mission, the vision, and those core values. And everything that we do, we've had brilliant business ideas that we know that we can make money with, and somebody in the room will go, that's in violation of the core values.
Bingo.
We will not do that.
Bingo. So here's the challenge. The challenge is when you've got 2, 3, 4, or 5 people together, at some point in time, you got to decide on something, even if you don't fully agree on it, because vision plus vision equals division. That's why I don't have partners anymore. I had two partners, and vision plus vision equals division. Vision plus vision plus vision equals confusion, right? And nobody's, we're all running in circles, okay? I'm sure you guys got a great business, but that right there. And when you get into, one of the things that we get into in our coaching and our course and all that is we go deeper into these things. You know, what's a mission, what's a vision, values, purpose, and those kinds of things. And Jim Collins, where I got the MVP, Jim Collins, who wrote Good to Great, he wrote another book called Beyond Entrepreneurship, and he said that your vision consists of your core values, your purpose, and your mission. And so I just flipped those around to create MVP, because it's easy for small business owners to learn, right? Mission, values, purpose, right? And that mission needs to be a one-sentence statement. We have 5 values. Do you remember what our five points of marketing were yesterday? Reputation, experience, education, systems, and guarantee. Those are also our values. So the decision that you're about to make, even if I don't have policies or procedures, does it help us or hinder us from providing the most outstanding service experience ever? That's how we make decisions. We hire to it, we fire to it, we coach to it. When I coach someone, all I have to do is say, you know, do you know what to do? Do you know how to do it? What's the mission? And are we the right fit for you? Is this, do we have you in the right position? Is the system broken? So if you have the mission, you have your values, you have your purpose, even if you don't have set policies and procedures other than an employee handbook, we should have that, we can make decisions that way. We can say exactly what you said. Yeah, this will make us a lot of money, but it has nothing to do with our core values or our mission or our purpose, right? We'll get into that just a little bit. Yes.
In the military, a mission statement has who, what, where, when, why being the purpose.
Yep.
Do you have a breakdown of what a mission statement must contain? And then what is the purpose? Wouldn't it be one and the same?
Your purpose is why you do what you do. All right, so I'll just use my own company as an example. And again, depending on who you're learning from, they're going to define these things a little bit differently, right? The mission in some companies might be to reach a certain goal. To me, that's a vision, right? To reach that goal. So you have a goal, you have a sales goal, you have a market share, or number of accounts, whatever it might be. That's the vision, that's the goal. My mind, your mission is what you do every day to achieve that goal. We're going to provide the most outstanding, phenomenal, who could ever believe, outlandish service experience to every single client, every single time, no matter whether we're hot, cold, sick, tired, or dying. You know, if we, you know, work is theater and every business is a stage. So if I show up, I'm going to perform. If I can't perform, I don't show up. What's that?
I'm glad you just said that, Kurt, like that. So many times I read a mission statement, and my first thought is, it's BS, you're doing that to make a profit.
Well, and the other, yes, and it's a paragraph the size of that poster right there, and the receptionist that's sitting 10 feet from there doesn't even know what it says. That's why it needs to be one sentence. It needs to be simple. What we do here is we provide the most outstanding service experience ever, every time, period. End of story. Our values are reputation, experience, education, systems, and guarantee. And our purpose is, get this purpose statement for our service company, is to rescue people in distress. To be the knights in shining armor to rescue the damsel in distress, because most of our clients are high-end females, right? Very wealthy, and their husbands or, you know, whatever it is that they do, and they're very wealthy usually, right? And usually you're not even dealing with them, right? So the thing is that people see how they live and they lie to them. They stand them up. They're just there to take the money. And what they love about us is that we're there to serve them. If we need to dress in all white and you know, wear an apron, if you need me to clean your oven and I've done that, whatever you need, that's how I started. So I transferred all that to the 97 different industries that we coach in right now, and even in my coaching company, Phenomenal Products, our mission is to help small business owners stop being a slave to their business. Everything that we do has got to help them do that. If it doesn't help them do that, then we shouldn't be doing it. And we have five values: reputation, experience, education, systems, guarantee. We're going to protect and promote our reputation. We're going to get as much experience as we can. We're going to get as much training, education, certification that we can. I learned from John Maxwell and everybody else and bring it to our folks so that they can stop being a slave to their business. Simon Sinek wrote a book called Start With Why. And where the real power comes in is in the why statement, which is the purpose statement. And our purpose, the reason we have the mission that we have, is because our purpose is to help business owners have more life. live in freedom every day. Because there's no freedom in being broken in debt. There's no freedom in working 24/7. There's no freedom in not being able to spend time with your family. Now, somebody ought to be popping the first balloon on that one. Maybe I'll get us started. Because, you know, that's the thing, is that you got to know why you do what you do. You got to know what we do every day, regardless of everything else that's going on. This is what we do, all right? So leadership, in my mind, is communicating the vision, which includes MVP, mission, values, and purpose. Now, we learned yesterday in the four corners, right, that people communicate differently, right? So you're going to not communicate in your style, you're going to communicate in whose style?
Their
style, right? So we have an outline for you that we just gave you this morning, and what you need to understand is how to communicate. In fact, on that sheet, there should be place on that sheet that talks about how to communicate with the different folks, right? I don't have one, but somebody help me out. Let's see which page this is. Okay, so go to the last page, all right? And let me have one of our D's in the room. Go to the last page on that handout. Have one of the D's in the room read out how you're going to communicate to the different styles. Who wants to volunteer for me? We don't have a D that'll volunteer? Okay. But you're a C, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm a D. I'm a high, well, I'm a C and a D.
C and a D? Okay. Well, you can, which one do you want to read?
I don't care.
Okay, do the C.
Okay, the C. So the C, when communicating to a C, so I think how you read this is when if you're a C and you're communicating to a D,
yep.
You want to concentrate on what, not how.
Yep.
If you're communicating with an I, hit the high points.
Yep.
If you're communicating with an S, give them time to digest information. If you're communicating with a C, remember to take action.
Okay. What does that mean?
Take action while you're communicating. How do you do that?
So, you wanna, go ahead.
You want to, like with a C, you want to, if you're communicating with another C, you want to make sure you're not just talking about the details.
Right.
That whatever it is that you need to get done, you're like, okay, so recap. This is what we need to do.
Yeah.
Or, okay, what do we need to do to get this sale?
Because you guys might analyze forever.
Yes.
Two C's together.
Yeah. That's not true. What do you mean?
Yeah. All right. Can I get a volunteer on S, I, or D?
D.
Okay. Go ahead, Anthony.
Be yourself.
If you're communicating with a D, just be yourself. We speak the same language. Get to the, you know, last night, Anthony really helped me out. I needed to give a Zig Ziglar book to the manager of the Hampton Inn, and I'd forgotten to bring it home, and he had won one yesterday, and I said, hey, can I, you know, have you written in your book or got it signed or anything? And he said, no. I said, can you help me out or replace it tomorrow? He said, yep. Went right to his room, got it done. We just, simple as that. Okay, to the I.
I, be prepared to socialize. I guess being a D, I definitely like to socialize.
Okay, and some Ds, we forget to do that, right? We forget to even say hello, okay?
True, in business, but I love
that's right, when we're in D mode, man, okay?
Slow down, share information, and do not push.
With an S?
Yeah, with the S.
Yep, right. You got to go slow and be reassuring, okay? Yes, because they want details. Don't just tell me what we're going to do. Tell me, okay, why are we doing this? What are the different options? Give me some facts. Okay. Do we have an I that would be willing to share with the I? Yes, ma'am.
I means to be business. If you're communicating with a D, you want to be businesslike and don't do a bunch of small talk.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a D, right, and an I is talking to me, man, you want, oh, I got an idea. It's like, whoa, that's not on the agenda,
right.
Okay? It's like, come on, man, let's stay focused,
right.
Okay?
If an I is talking to another I, you want to remember to ask for the order. Because we can get so...
You get so wrapped up in what, yeah, that's right.
S is, if you're I is communicating with an S, you want to earn their trust and don't become overly friendly because it takes a while.
Yes.
And for I's to communicate with a C, you need to stick to the proof and the facts.
That's it. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And then what do we have left? An S? Do we have an S that would be willing to share? We only had two of you guys yesterday, right?
I'm not convinced I'm an S, but I'll share.
Okay, that's fine.
So show confidence when you're talking to a D. Get straight to the point, which I'm learning that I need to do that better with my wife, so maybe I am an S in that area.
Yep.
An I provides social time. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be, you know, what does that exactly mean? I'm not exactly sure.
Party hard, socialize.
No, let's have a small topic. Let's talk.
Yeah, so, hey, you know, what'd you do last night? How was the restaurant? Oh, it was awesome. Okay. Give them some space and time to socialize.
Okay. So with an S, you have to reassure. So give them some more details, right? Reassure them. And then C, use evidence, all answer all questions.
There you go. Okay. I love this story. I love the story of somebody, everybody, and nobody. Somebody was asked to do something that was everybody's job. Everybody thought somebody was going to do it, but nobody did it. When nobody did it, everybody asked why somebody didn't do it. Somebody said it was everybody's job. Everybody said it was nobody's job, therefore nobody did it. Has anybody ever been in that situation? Okay, here's the reason, because we don't communicate well. So we got to communicate with the different styles, but then we've got to over-communicate whether we need to use a badge or whatever. And I want to show you a very cool exercise that you can actually do with your team on communication that's very, very powerful. Now, this is kind of a small room, and we typically use 9 people. So even though there's going to be more people at the front than out here, it's still going to work fine because everybody who's participating will also see the exercise. So can I get 9 volunteers to come up here, and I'll give you a can of tab for your time.
Yeah.
All right.
What's in it?
By the way, who wants to be our leader?
I will.
Okay, great. Fantastic, Mary. So Mary, I want you to stand over here, and I need 8 people behind Mary.
4.
Okay.
Behind. Come on.
No. I'm sorry. Mary, face this way. You're going to be over here with me, and you guys line up single file facing this way, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I need 2 more people. Okay, LaDonna?
Good job.
Okay, Stevan. This is going to be awesome.
Thanks, LaDonna.
Okay, let's scoot out this way just a little bit, Mary, and give these guys some more room. You want to be in single file. If we can maybe come. Andy, can you get that? Okay. All right, you guys come on up, and you're going to be, real close to each other. Come on, a little bit right there. Okay, enough. Okay, perfect. All right, now here's what's going to happen is I'm going to show Mary a series of movements. In fact, I'm going to show her how to do this task. I'm going to show her twice, okay? Then what's going to happen is you guys are going to turn around that way, and she's going to tap Jeff on the shoulder, and you're going to show Jeff the same procedure that I just showed you. Okay?
Telephone.
Yeah. And then Jeff is going to tap Anthony on the back and show him, and then Anthony's going to do the same thing and all the way down the line. So all you're going to do is you're going to observe what the procedure that person shows you, and you're going to turn around, tap the other person on the shoulder, and show them exactly what you saw.
This is going to be now, prepared at the end.
Now, hold on. Okay, now here's the thing. You can't say a word. You tap them on the shoulder, they turn around, you show them the procedure. So be sure to observe carefully, okay? So you guys all turn around that way, face that way, okay? And I'll show Mary the procedure. In fact, I'm going to show it to her twice. You ready? Okay, here we go. Okay, now I'm going to show it to you one more time. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Anthony. Show them exactly what you saw. There you go. Okay, Nate. There you go, Ronnie. Awesome. Y'all doing great. Beautiful. Love it. Y'all doing so good. Oh my gosh. Awesome. Stop in the name of love. Okay, LaDonna, I'm going to show you, and Mary will confirm this, I'm going to show you the exact procedure, okay? The exact procedure was just like this. Okay, you ready? All right. Can everybody tell what I was doing? Right? So I took an apple from the tree. I blew on it three times, and then I shined it three times. I set it on her head, and then I grabbed an arrow out of the quiver, and I shot it off of her head. And somehow that turned into stop in the name of love. I mean, how does that happen, right? Okay, but have you seen this happen in your own companies, right? You show somebody how to do it. You maybe even tell them, right? Okay, and then they tell someone else, and they train someone else, and they train someone else. Then you lose some people, and you get a new team, and then it ends up being not even resembling what it started out.
Where did the breakdown begin?
Right?
It started out as right here because I shot him between the eyes. He thought I was unmasking.
Mary, you got two things wrong right off the bat.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. So instead of placing the apple, what happened was it began to be like a little, you know, pat, and then the pat turned into a point, you know, and it just deteriorated, right? So this is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy that you don't even recognize, right? So here's what we need to do. What we need to do is we need to make sure that we're using the master copy all the way, each time, every time we use the master copy. So how can we improve our communication here? What could we have done differently?
Is do the whole group at the same time instead of one person.
They haven't been hired yet.
No, you need to mandate everything, and it's all written down, so you don't start out with William Tell shot an apple and end up with Frank Zappa, the mother's tossed a beer can over.
Exactly, right? So what if we had a manual? What if there was a training session? And I told you what we're doing, why we're doing it, exactly how to do it, exactly how many times to blow on the apple, exactly how many times to shine it, where you get the arrows from, and all of that. And I watched you, okay, tell you what to do, show you what to do it, watch you do it enough that you know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want to add one more thing to that. I need to know that she knows how to train. Mm-hmm. Don't let someone train someone else that doesn't know how to communicate with someone, Okay? And then if you get them in the opposite corners, you got trouble, right? So anyway, it's a great visual. Give these guys a big hand clap. Again, the tab's right here if you'd like to have one. All right. Thank you. There you go. Telephone?
Yeah, we call it teledraw.
Teledraw, love it, love it. Okay, there's some water in the other room, boss. Okay, I went out to Microsoft with John Maxwell's group and listened to Kevin Turner, who is the chief operating officer of Microsoft. It was a phenomenal presentation, and he said that leaders are coaches. And the way that you want to see yourself as a leader is not the boss, but you want to see yourself as a coach. And the original definition of a coach was like a carriage, right? Like the old, think about the old stagecoach to get you from where you are to where you need to be. That's the definition of a coach. So in your handout, you can fill in the blanks here. A coach gets you from where you are to where you need to be. A coach inspires you to reach your peak potential. One of the greatest things that you can do for your people is help them see their potential. That's what mentors do. That's what coaches do. That's how my life was changed, is when coaches, mentors took an interest in me and said, Howard, here's your gift. Here's the potential. And that's what I've tried to transfer to my people. Okay? A coach holds you accountable. A coach holds you accountable. The thing is if you don't hold people accountable, you are doing them wrong. Now, there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do it, right? What good coach, what good leader would continue to let me fail? Just because they're afraid that maybe we might get in a conflict or you might quit or something like that, okay? You want the right people on the bus. It'd be better if they're not willing to do it to let them go, right? A coach ensures that you have received training. My good friend Ellen Rohr says that training or tracking, Ellen Rohr says that tracking without training is mean. Mean. Oh, go make those sales. Go take care of that customer. Well, I haven't even been trained. Okay? And then I added on to her quote, training without tracking is dumb. You train somebody, but then you're not getting any kind of feedback on how they're doing. Bingo. And that's how this happens back here, is what happens is we're not tracking, we're not checking, are we doing the procedures right? Is everybody doing what they're supposed to do? We don't have any system for that.
We're not giving constructive criticism and saying right away, that's not how you do it.
Feedback is the breakfast of champions. That's what Chuck Coonrod wrote in his book, The Game of Work, that, you know, in a ball game, you don't just run the whole ball game and then after it's over and we lost, you say, oh, well, that, you know, too bad we lost. No, they have timeouts. They have quarters. They have halftime. And halftime, how many games have you seen that they change their strategy at halftime and come out and win the game? Right? Yeah. A coach makes sure that you're in the right position. What did Jim Collins say? He said, get the right people on the bus. Who are the right people? Those are the people who are willing, who have the right attitude. See, you can't teach attitude, but you can teach the skill. You can teach the task. You can teach the procedure. But I can't teach a procedure to somebody who doesn't want to learn. So the right people, the people who want to grow, the people who want to win. A coach exercises authority while remaining responsible. Here's what I mean by that. I was having difficulty with my partners, and we had a lot of challenges. and I went to see my mentor. And I poured out my woes for about an hour, and he listened very carefully. And then he turns to me and he says, I'm afraid that you're suffering from the fear of rejection. Okay, what do you mean? He said, you don't want to face up to these guys and you don't want to just be real about what's going on because you're afraid that they're going to quit or you guys are going to break up or whatever. And he was right. On the other hand, you don't want to be a jerk, right? He said, you know, it gets worse. He said, you're playing God and that's a sin. I said, well, you know, what do you mean? He said, you think that you're responsible for everybody's livelihood, and you're not. You're not responsible, there you go. You're not responsible for everybody in your company to be happy. That's their job. But what you are responsible for is you're responsible for creating the environment where they can grow. It's up to you. Thank you. Is that bothering you, Tracy? That's why we don't do them in the small rooms. It's not even on the list. From now on, these are just decorations and affirmations and reminders, okay? Thank you for the balloon pops. See, here's what happened is I went around the system. We don't use the balloons in small rooms like this, but I had them from a big event that we did, and I thought, we're just going to do balloons today, right? Forgetting that some people in a small room might be bothered by it. So no more balloon popping, okay? It was fun while it lasted for some of us, right?
I'm sorry, that was a huge error. Can you say that one more time?
Which one?
So you're not responsible for everyone's
happiness. You're not responsible for everyone's happiness. They're responsible for their own happiness, okay? You can't change anybody. So what you have to do is you have to hire happy people. Okay, now, you're responsible for creating the right environment, okay? And you do that by creating a mission, creating a our values, creating the purpose, and effectively and regularly communicating that with your team, that this is how we talk to each other. We don't curse each other at our company. We don't cross each other at our company. At the same time, we have the freedom of approaching someone in a meeting or whatever that, hey, I just need to get something off of my chest. Or if they come to a manager or they come to me or they come to somebody and say, hey, I've got a problem with someone, they know what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call that other person in. I'm not going to talk to you about that person, then go talk to this person about. And then they're going to talk about you, and now I'm just running in circles. If you want to solve this, I got to call them in. And then we have an open discussion. And that's the culture that we have to have, is that we're willing to say, hey, when you do this, this is the way it makes me feel. So a leader is not God. A leader is not the provider. A leader is not the only one who thinks. A leader is not the only leader. A leader is not the only important one, and a leader is not a manager. One of the habits that I've tried to develop is if I start thinking about a problem and I'm thinking about it too long or frustrated or whatever, I've tried to train myself to immediately get my team involved. Hey guys, here's the challenge. And I cannot tell you how many times I've procrastinated on doing something for weeks and the deadline is coming up and I call one of my people and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about, what do you think? And we solve it together in 5 minutes. Anybody else ever been there? Isn't it crazy that you have a problem and you get with another human being and they don't even say anything and the solution just comes out of your mouth? Anybody else experience that? That's crazy. But I believe that God created us that way. We need each other. See, we need community. We're created to need each other and to belong to each other. And that's why the way we live today and the way corporate America is set up today isn't working. Yes, sir.
Number five.
Number five?
The one in here has two spaces. Why is that? I need details.
Let me see what's going on with my C's here.
It's not the only important one. It should just be here.
Is it just not supposed to be there as a typo?
Let's see.
A leader
is not the only important one. A leader is not a manager. Yeah, that's just an extra space. You can cross it out. Yes, ma'am.
What is the can you clarify the manager part? Because
I'm about to do that right now. Yep. There's a leader is so a leader is not the only leader. One of the things I learned from John Maxwell is that everybody has to be a leader. Everybody has influence. We just got to teach them how to have a positive influence on everybody else. We got to teach them the MVP so that we have the right culture, right? So everybody in the company is a leader. Everybody in the company is a leader. A leader's not the only important one. You know, you don't have to throw your weight around as a leader. You don't have to throw your weight around as an owner. When you get this right, when you put all this, when you hire right, you have the right hiring process, the right interview process, the right orientation, the right training, the right communication, you get the relationship right from the beginning, then we can just sit down and have a conversation. Anybody want to be coached right now? Okay. Since Rhonda's been a little quiet, she raised her hand. Let me pick on her, okay? Since you got to be our leader over here, okay? All right. And I also, honestly, I'm afraid to coach you because, no, just kidding. She might not be as tough on me, okay? No, all right. So what did Rhonda not do that she should have done?
Be more aggressive.
All right, great point. That's not definable.
True.
I can't coach her on something that's not definable. Right? That's not measured.
She didn't make
a sales call or her sales call, number of sales calls she's supposed to make.
Not that I think you would do that.
Right? Okay. You have that. Yeah, or let me ask you, is that a challenge you have in your business that you need to coach people on? Okay. Okay. All right, so Rhonda, why don't you come on up here in the front here? She's like, oh, man. See, that's the first thing that you do is invite them into your office or somewhere privately. See, well, this is not private, but somewhere where, thank you. Did I lose my mic? Okay. Always coach in private. Even if it's a gentle correction, always do it in private. It never, ever works in public except for a demonstration like this. Okay? All right. So, Rhonda, how you doing? Good, good. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you how your sales calls are going.
I had set a goal for myself to make 30 sales calls a week,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been doing that.
Okay. Can you tell me about that?
I just have found myself busy with other tasks.
And okay.
I'm feeling a little overwhelmed doing the billing stuff and making sure that everybody gets paid and,
Okay.
All
but
the other things I'm doing.
And you know what the sales goal is, right?
Yeah.
And you know that the quota is to do 30 sales calls, correct? Right. And do you think that that's important? Do you think that we can get there without doing those sales calls and we can make those numbers without making those sales calls?
I think it's very important. And no, I don't think we can get there without making them.
Okay. How can I help you?
Well, I need more staff. I need more help. I need to be able to offload some of my other work.
Okay, so what you're telling me is you don't have enough time. All right, let's go through and take a look at the routine and what you're doing and all that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these procedures over here, and probably what I'm going to find is that she's not organizing her time the way that she should be organizing her time, because she doesn't really want to do the sales calls and she'd rather do something else.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
I don't even have to go through the exercise. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So here's what I have to determine in this coaching session. Absolutely.
That you think that she just doesn't want to do it because she's managing her time.
What I try to do is not make a statement in coaching. I always, because if they discover it, if I ask them questions and they discover it, then it's their idea, not my idea.
It becomes non-confrontation.
Absolutely.
So
okay. So I would say this. I would say, so Rhonda, can we go back to the training for a minute? Okay. And you remember that the way that we set up the training was to do the calls first, to get the big rocks out of the way and get that done first, to make sure that we reach the goals, and that if anything has to slide, then the billing stuff comes at the end of the day. But what I'm noticing is that you're doing that stuff at the beginning of the day and then kind of running out of time, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are you willing to go back to do it? Because I think when you're doing it the other way, you're reaching your goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you willing to do it the other way so that we can reach that goal and we don't have to have these kind of conversations anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, this is like real. I'm telling, like, this okay. is really, yeah, I think it's a great, because I think what happens in my daily life is I get bogged down with what I want to accomplish that day. And then it's 2:00, and if I leave to go make sales calls, DC traffic is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm not going out now and then having to come back through traffic.
So everybody is
excuses.
Is everybody familiar? So you got to dig deep down and say, okay, why am I not willing to go out and do those sales calls first? Because you're afraid you're not going to get this stuff done. Is everybody familiar with Big Rock, Little Rock, right? Okay, so if you get a container, right, you get two same types of, same size containers, right? You have five big rocks, you have some pebbles, you have some sand, you have some water. And if you put in the water first, then the sand, and then the pebbles, and then the big rocks, they won't fit. The big rocks won't fit. So the big rocks are your most important things. It's kind of like Zig used to say, eat that big ugly frog first. Get it out of the way, get it done. And here's the amazing thing. If you do the big rocks first, then somehow magically, then you put in the pebbles and they fit around the big rocks, and then you put in the sand and it gets down in there, and then you put in the water and everything somehow magically fits. The engineer C says granularity density or something. I mean, dude, I'm from Alabama, okay? I didn't even go to college. I don't know how you speak at Cambridge University. They didn't check and see that I barely got out of high school. And the only reason I got out of high school is because they didn't want to see me again, you know?
Right.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. So now, here's what I teach my coaching clients. When you have this kind of situation, there's one of a couple things going on, all right? The first question that I would ask, and as I'm in this coaching session, I'm going to be thinking about, okay, is this person, I'm looking for, is it attitude or aptitude? Is it an attitude issue or an aptitude issue? In other words, is she the right fit for that sales role? This is what you discover about people. Get the right people on the bus and then get them in the right position. The people with the great attitude, but then I find out that maybe she's not the right fit for sales. She thought she was, I thought she was, and she ain't ever going to do it.
Say farmer, you put in another position.
It depends on whether you have another position or not. That's the tough part. Okay. But if she's got a great attitude, she's in the right seat on the bus. I just need to coach her and help her to maybe rearrange her time or whatever. That's one piece of it. The other piece that comes into play is your goal, is your dream meaningful enough to you? The reason I get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I just can't wait to get going, is because I know that if I'm willing to crawl across broken glass today, that I get my dream. I've seen it already. So we have to do a lot of self-reflection and say, okay, is my dream big enough? Is it strong enough? Is it meaningful enough? It doesn't have to be big in size. It just has to be meaningful enough to us, right? So I'm going to go back to Rhonda, let's talk about your goals again. You know, when you first started working here, you're talking about you wanted to get that house or that car or that, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, if you don't make the sales thing happen, then what's your plan for that?
Well, I could hire other people to do that sales part.
Love it. So before we get there, we have to get the revenue coming in, right? So what if you, instead of making 30 calls, you made 35 and we get above the goal so that we have extra money for people to do all this other stuff for you?
Yeah, it's a great suggestion.
Did I even make one statement?
There's a question about getting coffee broke glass to get your dream right.
Yeah, but I was talking to you guys. But when I was talking to her, I never made a statement. I asked questions. And even though I didn't disrespect her either. There was no threat. Okay. Now, if we continue to have the conversation and I come to the place where it's an attitude issue, she just doesn't want to do it, she don't want to be on my team, I'm going to finally just...
How do you have that conversation? What if it's an attitude issue, but it's like I need a job, so I have to do the job?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
going to...
It's not bad, but I'm just not doing a good job.
We'll have that conversation right now. Okay. Rhonda, you know, every week we've had this kind of same conversation, right? About the sales calls and everything. And I'm just at a little bit of a loss here of, you know, what's going on. And so I want to ask you a question. Are we the right fit for you? Is this company, where we're going and what we're doing, is this the right fit for you?
Well, yeah, I just have a lot going on in my life right now, and it's distracting, and I'm trying to get here on time. I'm trying to do a good job.
I understand.
I'm working as hard as I can work.
I understand. Do you understand that if you don't reach your goal, if you don't do what's required in your position, the company can't reach its goals, and it affects everybody else here, including our clients, including all the other team members. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And I'd like to ask you more questions, but I'm out of questions. And so
can I make a suggestion here?
You can, but I have a statement that I have to make now. If we have to have this conversation again, I'm going to have to let you go.
Okay?
I like you as a person. I want it to work out with all of my heart, but we can't get there from here.
So I guess my question is, okay, have you read about these companies who don't fire people?
Nope. Those are not the books that I read.
No, well, you know what? It actually might be for financial reasons. They don't fire people, not for performance.
Right. Well, part of what I did in the last 10 years in my school district was get rid of teachers who weren't performing effectively. But you can't fire a teacher.
Because
so what I did was I would go in there and I would have the same, I called them difficult conversations. because I would coach them throughout the year.
Yeah.
And by the end of the year, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, in fact, mid-year, I started asking questions like, when you wake up in the morning, are you excited about coming to work? And if the answer is, well, no, I mean, and when you know they've had a bad day the day before, when you've been in there watching and things went south and you look at them and you say, yesterday was a really tough day. It seems like you're having more and more tough days. Is there something that we can do to improve those tough days? Or is this something you might want to think about maybe making a career change at this point to something that you're happier with? Mm-hmm. So
that's great. Yeah. Great question. Yeah.
They don't, you can't fire a teacher. I mean, you can.
Right.
But it takes a monumental amount
right.
of people.
So it's a great point, and
I counsel them out.
Yeah, and I'm coming from the standpoint of small business, okay? And I agree 100%. Really what I'm trying to do here through this coaching is help her quit.
Yeah. You're counseling her out.
Right. You know, when I say, did you notice that I said, are we the right fit for you? I didn't say you're not the right fit for us.
Right?
I'm going to respect that human being. Why? Because I am phenomenal, so are you. Okay, this is God's creature here, God's creation, and I'm going to respect that person even if they've done me wrong.
Right. Planting the seed of asking them if they're happy starts triggering
yeah,
that mind.
You bet. Give Rhonda a big hand clap. We got to move on. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So in our inner circle coaching program, we have a paperwork system. It's a 6-step disciplinary system. So you go from this sort of oral reminder to actually writing them up to them making a decision whether they're going to quit or stay, and then finally termination. So we have all the paperwork and everything for the file.
That's the part that I was saying was missing, because that's what we do. You know,
yeah.
It's verbal.
Yeah.
And you document the verbal through an email so they understand what you just said.
Right.
Then you write them up.
Yeah.
So they know exactly what your expectations are of them. And then you put them on a performance improvement plan.
Yep.
That's documented
yep.
with deadlines.
Yep. Yep.
If they don't meet that, you let them go. And HR cannot come back on you at that point.
Look at this sharp dressed man. Now, don't duck out. Look at him. I mean, Michael, this is the sharpest man in the house. I got a button in my coat, man. Look at him. Yes, sir. Okay.
About what you just did.
Yes, sir.
What Ron said about, I've just got a lot going on in my life and I just haven't had enough time right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to fire every employee, said that I wouldn't have any. It is a. How many of you guys have heard that? Everybody.
You're in corporate America, though. I'm not. This is small business.
Okay.
I got to run my business.
Supply small company business. All
I got to run my business.
I put people. Okay. The thing is, I don't hear it just a big corporate.
I'm not going. I can't run my business if you got too many problems. I'm not coaching you now. I'm just having a conversation with you. If you got too many problems at home that you can't perform at work, why should I keep them? It's not a charity. It's not a ministry. Now, if I love you and care about you, I can give you money. I can fire you and then say, look, I'm going to give you $1,000. I'm going to give you $5,000 or whatever because I care about you and I want you to go get some counseling. I want you to go get some as a friend. I can do that. But I cannot run my business, and I'm not. I had to fire my general manager.
Did he tell you that?
Tell me what?
I got a lot going on.
No, but I've had people tell me that. And here's my question to them.
I hear that from executive as well as the guy that's doing the broom sweeping. Okay, I hear the same thing.
I don't want to trade places with them. Okay.
It depends on their reaction to it.
My question is this. I understand everybody's got problems, issues, and challenges at home or whatever, and I hope that you get those worked out. But my question to you is, are you going to be able to do your job? And if you're not, you're going to have to maybe consider a career change and work with someone who can deal with that, because we can't reach our goals, which then is going to affect everybody else. But guess what? We hardly ever have to fire anybody because they know what the score is. And they're happy that they can't wait to come to work. So it starts from the beginning, hiring the right people, not putting up with that kind of stuff on a day-to-day basis so that you never get to the ugly. And I've done the ugly before, and I ain't doing it anymore.
Can I yes, get sir? Your perspective on a leader is not a manager?
Right here. Yeah. Okay. Should be next page, right? Is that the next page? Yeah. Leaders are concerned about people. Is that in your book?
Yeah.
Page 20, okay. All right. Leaders are concerned about people. Managers are concerned about processes. Both are important. Good leaders aren't necessarily good managers, but all managers have to be good leaders. See the difference? So in other words, I might have someone who is phenomenal at accounting, phenomenal at accounting for resources and everything, but they make everybody else not want to come to work. Leadership is influence. How do you gain influence? It's by adding value to other people. Okay? You might do a phenomenal job at accounting or, you know, IT or organization, the schedule, or whatever, but if nobody wants to be around you, including customers, because you don't have a good attitude, and you can't say the A word either, my book. So everybody, we have to teach everybody how to build each other up and keep that the positive energy in the office. We don't go negative. No negative energy allowed, okay? So here's the flip side of it. I'm a good leader, but I'm not a good manager. I'm talking about myself. I'm a great manager for a little while, but I get bored, I get frustrated, I get anxious, I get somebody else needs to do that. Yes, sir.
I think I'm in the same shoes, and the battle goes around. I'm president of the company, mm-hmm. but then the CEO has a little more authority than what I do.
Yep.
We bang heads quite a bit because she'll back out and say, well, I'm not a leader. That's your job continuously.
Okay.
You need to do this. You're the leader. You're the leader. You're the leader. And then something goes wrong. Well, you should have known about that. You're the manager.
Okay.
I try to explain. It's there's two different roles. You know, I'm not a great manager, but then she believes that because I'm the president, I should be an awesome manager. And those things should not go wrong because I'm the leader.
How many people do you have?
11.
Okay. Do you have somebody in that 11 that can be that's your right-hand person that's a good manager?
No.
I'd be thinking about that. And that's what I did. You know, I've got 33, I think, in my service company. And I have a manager in the sales and marketing. I have one in operations, and I have one in administration, so that they deal with all the day-to-day stuff. And then over time, as I developed them, they became in a position where they could make the director level decisions. I'll show you guys my organizational chart here in just a minute. Again, the ultimate leadership secret is community. Every human being has a longing for belonging. Every human being wants to belong to something meaningful. They want to be loved. They want to feel accepted and validated. They want to know that their lives matter, and we can help them with that. Human beings try to fill their people-shaped void. See, we have a God-shaped void, we have a people-shaped void, and we try to fill that with possessions and power and dysfunctional relationships. False community, gangs would be a good example of that. Destructive habits are by blaming circumstances or other people. And today we're more connected digitally than ever before, but we're more isolated than ever before. We all need community. It's something that we don't have. So how you create that in your business is through three things: support, encouragement, and accountability. I'm here to support you. I want to help you reach your goals. I'm here to support you in, you know, the goals that you have for your life. That's one of the reasons this business exists. Now, it has to match our goals. It can't, you know, take away from our goals, right? And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage your gifts. I want to help you recognize and discover your gifts, right? This is what really going deep in leadership is all about. And then finally, if I don't hold you accountable, I'm doing you wrong. Simple as that. All right. By the way, I don't have on the slides, which I'll get this fixed for next time. A phenomenal leader, page 20. A phenomenal leader, in my humble opinion. Think about the word phenomenal for a second. Remarkable, extraordinary. A phenomenal leader is one who loves God. I don't think you can love God without loving others. So a phenomenal leader is one who loves others. If you want to understand leadership, we got to understand love. And love is not a feeling, it's a commitment. One who is a phenomenal leader is one who is a positive role model. One who is enthusiastic. If you're complaining, if you have negative talk and you're letting negative talk come out of your mouth, guess what your people are going to do?
Same thing.
Same thing. Okay. One who is encouraging. One who is supportive. And then I'm going to let you fill in the other blanks. What would you put there? I always like to get a little feedback from the audience on this one. Yes, ma'am.
Inspirational.
Someone who's inspirational. Does inspirational mean that you have to be a motivational speaker?
No.
What inspires people is the way that you live your life. When they know that even though you have tremendous problems, you have a positive attitude. That even though you're going through some stuff, you've got faith. Even though you don't have to serve them, you don't have to help them, you do. One of the greatest blessings of my life is being in a financial position to help people financially with their challenges, with their goals, with their dreams. I love to make money because I love to give away money, you know, and that will inspire some people. And you know what? Nobody even knows about many of the things that I've done except for that person that's on my team. What last word would you put down there? Yes, sir.
I think a phenomenal leader is one who listens well.
One who listens, yes. What's that?
Energetic.
Yeah. You know, before I got really healthy. I'm relatively healthy now, but I got so fit. I mean, I was like fit. It's a long story. It's in my book, Think and Be Phenomenal, how I got off track and all that. But I mean, I was fit. And before that, I was in really bad shape, and I got migraine headaches from literally from the tip of my head to the tip of my toes. And I had to go do a presentation. I had to communicate with my people. I would get so sick with a migraine that I literally got sick physically. My wife and I were in Holland on a trip one time, and I literally got sick on the side of the road and just couldn't even hardly get up. And this Dutch guy comes by and says, "You need a doctor?" And we were like, "Yes." And he takes this doctor's office and points to the building, and you know they have socialized medicine there, right? So you don't have to necessarily, I guess, have an appointment or a prescription, you know, whatever. I don't know how it all works. So he waves us off and takes off, and we get up to the door and realize that it was a veterinarian clinic. I'm like, oh, the guy prescribes medicine for me. It made me better. But when I got healthy, those migraines went away, and I don't have migraines anymore.
What did he give you, milk bone?
I don't know, but you're right, exactly. You know, but I would address my team, and I had to be enthusiastic. So you can't communicate out of how you feel. You have to communicate out of where are we going as a team? How are we going to get there? And if you keep your dream in mind through all of this, it'll help you. So let me finish with this quote. A guy by the name of Dave Anderson said this: if you have a dream, the one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals, your dream. If you have a dream and no team, you have to either give up the dream or build up the team. Building up the team is hard, but it's the most important thing that you can do, because you won't get to your dream by yourself. Your biggest dream, you just won't. And that's why leadership is so important. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our most important and the session that you've been waiting for, which is how to stop being a slave to your business and transform it into a predictable, profitable, turnkey operation by building systems in your business. I'm going to share with you the 5 vital components of building a system, and we will see you. Let's take about 10 minutes because we still got a lot to cover. 10 minutes, let's make it 10:15 according to that clock back there. We'll see you then.